authenticity. You can't beat it. You got to just put aside that everybody has an awkward, everybody has their own issues, and you can't let someone else's judgment of you deter you from accomplishing what you want to accomplish. So just own who you are and embrace it. And, you know, you can blossom into something beautiful from that.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Own Your Awkward. I am super excited today to have an amazing woman. We have Mrs. Washington joining us. It's Brittany Sleeper. Brittany, how are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. It's a pleasure to have you here. It's been amazing. I know we just met a month ago, but already seeing all the things that you've been doing out in the community is so inspiring. It's what we need in the world. And I'd like to know with everything you're doing, what's the most positive thing you see out there in the world right now?
Yeah, it's obviously, you know, since 2020 with COVID and the change of life and my platform specifically working with law enforcement, it's been great to see the shift from 2020 of, you know, having so much negativity in the community to so much positivity and support. Obviously it varies in your area, but I've loved seeing the outpouring of people giving to different law enforcement communities, you know, showing up at blood drives, showing up at, you know, when there's a line of duty death, just the how the community has really rallied around law enforcement in the past couple of years. The pendulum has swung, you know, a little bit, and it's been really encouraging to see.
That is good to see. And I think, you know, the more attention we give anything, that's what we see, and that's what we start to believe is how things are. And I think it's important to see all the good that people are doing. And, you know, I have a lot of loved ones in law enforcement, and I know they're out there putting their life on the line every day, showing up to save people and help people and catch the bad guy. And it had been really sad to see the way things were going, where they weren't getting that. So, well, thank you for all you're doing to bring light to that. Yeah. You know, I bring everybody on here and I just like to jump right into it and find out what's the awkward thing that you've had to own in order to live your best life?
You know, something about me that a lot of people don't know, or just as they get to know me as a person, that I'm most people. So some people might not think it's awkward, but for me, it kind of was in my upbringing, as I'm an only child, but I'm an only child of dual military parents who also got divorced when I was little. Okay. And through being an only child, I found I'm a very rare breed of a person that, you know, it's not very common anymore to be an only child. And I've found it comes with different personality traits, right? So I've really had to learn to get into my own. I was always told as a child, I was very mature for my age. I never really did kid things. Like, I don't remember running around at parks. I don't remember playing with my little girlfriends or anything. You know, I became a little adult as a kid. Yeah. And especially with divorced parents, I was with them at their adult activities all the time. You know, my dad would take me to work meetings and I would be, you know, this little like 12-year-old sitting at a business meeting, you know? So as I got older, it got sad for me as I began to have my own children to realize, you know, I didn't have a childhood really experience. I didn't have time to just be a kid and have fun. Because my parents divorced and I was an only child, I learned to take care of myself pretty early on. I mean, I learned to like French braid my own hair and I'd walk myself home from school. And I just was very independent and self-sufficient at a really young age. And for some other women, that comes off as intimidating. So it's been friendships and adulthood have gotten to be hard. And if you want to call it awkward, because I'm not a super frilly, needy girl in that sense. Mm-hmm. So I tend to be very independent and self-driven. And it's been interesting trying to navigate being a mom now with children and not having any uncles or cousins, or like my family is very small, and it's hard sometimes for people to understand that, you know, and really build community when people are like, oh, well, I'm going to my sister's, or, oh, I did, you know, did it on my parents. And I'm just like, right. I feel like a lot of people get stuck in their bubble of like, oh, I have my whole family, or I have my siblings, or I have, and there's people like me out there who don't really have anybody, you know, I don't have siblings. I don't have uncles. I don't have aunts. I don't have cousins. I don't, you know, it's kind of just me in the world. So, I mean, I have a great relationship with my mom still now, and she visits all the time and sees the kids, but it was pretty much just her and I being little besties taking on the world, you know?
Yeah. So did you notice there was a point where, I mean, I know you mentioned when your kids were born and you started to realize that. Mm-hmm. When you were younger, was there a point where you realized that was different from most?
I mean, I definitely knew it was different to be an only child, mm-hmm. That most people had siblings. Yeah, I think I did know my life and my upbringing was different. And my parents being military, we moved around a lot. So I, once they got divorced, I kind of got, my mom kind of settled down a little more. But it was just, I didn't do the normal kid thing. I worked from the day I turned 16 and I went to school full time. And then even in college, I went to college full time. I worked full time. I just didn't get
ability from day one.
Yeah. I mean, I like came out taking care of myself, you know?
Right. Yeah. So, I get the reason. I think the reason I ask that is that a lot of times when I talk to people and reflecting on my own life, we're in a situation that we know might be a little different, but we don't really see it as a problem or anything like sad at the time. It's just the life we know. And then later we're like, oh, I guess that was hard, or I guess that was tough. Or,
yeah.
You know, I've had a friend say, oh gosh, you really went through the ringer at this time of your life. Or how did you deal with that? And I'm like, that was just my life. I didn't know, you know?
Yeah.
I find it interesting too, how you mentioned that can be intimidating to people because it set you up to be very independent and not need what other people might need from friendships.
Yeah.
How has that felt as you have, you know, set you up now as a mother, and you have multiple children, so it's not, you know, they have siblings. How has that interacted how you parent them?
I would definitely say I want them to have a childhood. You know, I'm like, let's go do all the things. Let's go take you to Disneyland. Let's go, you know, to all the play places in the parks. And I always have to ask my husband, like, are the things they doing normal? Because like with all the fighting and all the,
oh, like, right.
Is this normal? Because I didn't have this. So it's really kind of fed that little girl in me, right? To be like, oh, like, this is so sweet that you get to have this. And my kids even realize, because they'll be like, oh, mommy, who's your brother or sister? And I'm like, well, remember, mommy doesn't have any. Like, it's just, yeah. To them it's normal too, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's really sweet though to see their relationships, and I've, you know, really encouraged them to be close with each other and just keep that, because I don't really feel like it really bothered me until I became an adult, when I'm like, man, when my parents are gone, like, I'm it, you know, and I have no one to reflect on my childhood with. I have no one to be like, do you remember when mom did this? You know?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fair thing to think about, you know, that I think one thing too, I think that can make you maybe even appreciate those moments more, mm-hmm. especially while your parents are here, because you can say, wow, you know what, this time is so precious. Because I have those reflections now.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, you have, you present yourself very confidently. You're doing great things. So obviously it served you well, the life that you've led. Have you noticed that there are strengths from that you're able to pull into where you've been able to get to right now?
Yeah, I think, being not just an only child, but a parent, but a child from the military, that my husband, which we met in college, but he was actually already in the military. So I was like, Of course you are. You know, going into then being a military spouse, I was like, okay, well, I already know the language. I already know the drill. Like, I got this, you know? So when he was deployed or he was gone a lot, my only child independent nature was like, sweet, I'm by myself. Like, I know how to do that, you know? And then as we transitioned many years later into him being a police officer, I was kind of like, oh, you work night shift. Oh, you're gone. Okay. Like, it's, you know, I know a lot of women who really struggle with their husbands working night shift or being gone a lot or working weekends, working holidays. And I'm kind of like, yeah, it's not as earth shattering for me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's really served me well as an adult because I'm able to better adapt and adjust to change. And it's not as shocking to me. And I've figured a lot out on my own. So it's just set me up, I feel like, to not be afraid of, I guess I already come forth with the confidence that I know I can do it myself because I always have. And I mean, and don't get me wrong, my mom has always been there for me and has been a great support and all of that. But it's just a different dynamic when you do life without any siblings, especially I'm seeing that as a mother now. So it's, yeah. And then, you know, with going through 2020 with all of the civil unrest that brought as a pageant title holder and my platform being law enforcement, I don't shy away from confrontations. So people had lots of questions for me, lots of rebuttals. So I had many, many conversations the last couple of years with it's pretty much made me not shy. That's probably the biggest thing. I'm just like, yep, I do it on my own. Like, it's not intimidating for me to do things by myself and do anything hard, really.
Yeah. And there's an element to that where it keeps you from being held back, because if you're not waiting for anybody else for approval or for justification or, you know, even just to collaborate, you're like, okay, I want to take this next step, but I'm waiting for so-and-so to be here so we can walk forward. There has to be an element to that keeps you just progressing in a way that other people might not.
Yeah, it's things, I feel like once you go through, I mean, and of course we've all had our share of traumas as well, right? So I've been through my fair share of that in my childhood and upbringing. And I feel like that's also propelled me into just nothing holding me back. I mean, I finished my master's degree in 2021. I did that all through COVID and did it online and pursued. And so I took a break obviously from having children. So I was intentionally going to get it right after my bachelor's, but then we lived around the world with the military and I had children. And so once my third was a little bit older, I jumped right back in. And I just, you know, I don't, like you said, I don't wait for other people to help me reach my goals. I can just know that I'm capable.
Yeah. And it's interesting because as you have, you know, three kids now and then have your independent spirit and everything that you came from being an only child, that experience that you have is teaching them how independent they can be, even though they're not growing up with that background.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely funny because I think they realize how not shy that I am. And so I'll just be like, go talk to this person. And my oldest now, she'll be like, mom, no, like that's embarrassing. Don't, I'm like, no, it's not. So it's, and my oldest is definitely the most like my husband with, she's a little bit more introverted and she's a little more shy versus my other two have a little more spunk. And so it's definitely me trying to nourish that in her to be like, no, like you can go, you know, cause when they know their dad's in law enforcement, when they see other police officers, they're like, oh, do they have stickers? Cause most of the time they carry stickers, right? I'm like, go ask them for a sticker. You know? And my oldest is like, no. I'm like, come on. So even when she says no, in my mind, I'm like, oh, we're definitely going to ask now.
Yeah, right now we have to.
Yeah, now we have to, because we're not going to do that. So,
Well, yeah. I remember one of the things that I think about with kids is like one of the hardest questions for them to ask is like that whole, will you play with me? Will you be my friend? And that carries over into an adulthood, and it's in different ways. It's, you know, can I work with you? Will you sit, can I sit at the table with you if you're out at a coffee shop or a bar? Yeah. And that getting over that shyness or that, you know, mm-hmm. whatever that fear is of that rejection that we could have, which it's like no big deal. And then also on the flip side, if you don't want someone to sit by you and you don't want to be their friend, being able to say, yeah, I'm okay right now, thanks, but nothing against you. No, you know, it's not to reject you, but, you know, maybe someone else is going to sit here in 5 minutes. But to be able to, that's hard to push through as a kid, let alone an adult. And so I think that the younger we're pushing past those boundaries, the better, as far as just kind of working those muscles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I experienced that a lot as a kid with moving schools all the time and doing it where, you know, you don't have a sibling like, okay, sister, we're going to go to this new school and I'll right. cling to you the whole time. You know, it's really like walking in and you're making new friends everywhere you go. And then, you know, going to college is most of the time, I feel like when people first experience that, they move away from their home. But at right. that point, you're 18 and you're already kind of established from like, oh, I've done this like 20 times already. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I clammed up when I went to high school because my grade school, middle school was very small. There weren't mm-hmm. very many kids in the school. When I went to high school, there were more kids in my class than were in my whole school. And I was just like, oh gosh. So I played loner the whole 4 years. I just, you know, I just stayed in the shadows. I didn't go in the cafeteria and try and find a table to sit at. I mm-hmm. had a small group of friends and we're still friends, but that was just how I did that. Cause I was that experience for me, like you mentioned in college was high school. And I think we all have that time where we're more or less shy. Do you know, how did you feel when you noticed that that was different for you and as an adult?
Yeah, with, you know, I had one friend that I was really vulnerable with, if you will, and kind of asked her, I'm like, how come I have such a hard time being friends with women? Like, why do you think is it just being intimidated? Because I know women can get petty, you know, like when someone's pretty or doing more than them, they can get, and she's like, honestly, Brittany, your energy is, hate to kind of use this word, but she's like, your energy is very masculine, you know, where I am like a male in the sense of, I got it. I don't need help with it. I can fix it myself. I will pull out the dishwasher and fix it myself. Like I don't have like the fluffy emotional side that a lot of women do. So where when they're trying to connect with me, I'm like, oh, you're telling me a problem. Let's go fix it. Opposed right. to just being like, oh, that sounds so hard. You know, I'm like, I'm a doer. Let's do this. You know?
Yeah. They're like, yeah. And that's if someone is outside of the character of what you're expecting them, you know, all stereotypes aside, it's like, if you're used to dealing with a certain characteristic and you're expecting that, and then someone presents differently, mm-hmm. like, oh, wait, it doesn't compute. You know, it's like, I don't know how to handle this situation. And if they met you in a different circumstance where you were, say, a guy or, you know, something that they were expecting that from, it may have nothing to do with your personality or anything. It's just, oh, wait. And I think it can be then sometimes taken as, if you're a strong personality, people can take that as you're either trying to be better than everybody or you're trying to show someone up or take control when really you're just like, you said there's a problem, I'm fixing it. You know, sound like a rap song now. You know, there's a problem, hey, I'll solve it. But it does kind of, people, because of their own insecurities, then can be like, oh, wait, now, you know, what's at play here?
Yeah, and that's where I really had to find my niche of people who aren't intimidated by it, or mm-hmm. people that are equally as confident or equally as independent, or it tends to actually be a lot of either some form of first responder, whether that's a firefighter's wife, a cop wife, military, or I actually have a couple only children friends. We seem to find each other.
Right.
So it's just like all of us that have been through harder things in life, I feel like tend to not be so, I don't know, soft, if you want to call it, but we're just able to be like, yep, let's pick our bootstraps up and move on and do this and handle it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, then it comes with the flip side of having a first responder husband who doesn't work the same hours as everybody else. So they're like, right. Well, why can't you hang out here? Why can't you hang out there? And I'm like, cause I have a husband who works night shift and sleeps during the day. Like it's not, and he works weekends, and it's kind of the single mother thing, single wife thing where
right.
they never see her husband because he's never at anything. They're like, he's around, promise.
Yeah. It's like you and your quote unquote husband, you know, like I'm sure you really do have a husband, Brittany.
Right. It's like, oh, does he, you know, so it's, and then being thrown into also being like a married single mother to where I'm doing everything for my kids naturally, for the most part by myself, to where that independent nature was, if you want to call it, exacerbated by my life. So it's like, if I, you know, I was already independent, already self-sufficient, then throw in law enforcement, military, where I'm doing it by myself on, again, it's just like, all right, I know how to do this, you know, so.
Yeah, when I started my career, I was working in grocery, which is retail. So, the you know, a lot of long days and different shifts. And my kids were young at the time. And I remember having to just, you know, we celebrate whatever holiday, whenever it's convenient for us. So if Christmas is on a Tuesday that week, like that's when we do the thing, because that's when, you know, dad's home. And I remember taking my oldest to preschool, and he had this little chick he got for Easter on like a Thursday. And the teacher, he's like, look what the Easter bunny brought me. And she's like, you mean last year? Because this was a few days before Easter. And we're like, no, wink, wink. The Easter bunny came this year on Thursday, because they knew dad wouldn't be at home on Sunday. And you just learn to create with anything. And whether it's because of work schedule or because people are traveling, or, you know, whenever you can have your family together, the people that matter, that's when you have the holiday, and it doesn't have to be whatever day is on the calendar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, so as you're out there and you're talking about all of these things, being a mother and having, you know, someone with a different schedule and kind of living that single mother life, that's not it. You're also Mrs. Washington, and, you know, standing up for a platform, you're doing a lot for someone who's got a lot on their plate. Let's talk about the Mrs. Washington journey. I'd love to hear about how that's been and what that means.
Yeah, I just kind of got thrown in my lap about 3 years ago. I already was doing so much in the community, and I just naturally kind of like to volunteer and give back. And they're like, well, why don't you do something to elevate that and bring it to another platform? And I did pageants a little bit when I was a teen and younger. And then, you know, we moved around and I got older and all the things. So just kind of went to the wayside. And then I was like, oh, I didn't even know there was Mrs. Pageant. So I'm a part of the Mrs. America organization. And I was like, all right, I'll go for it. You know, I asked my husband, like, what do you think of me competing? And I mean, he didn't care. He was supportive. He was just like, well, he didn't know what the time commitment would be like, you know? And I said,
right. He didn't quite know what he was saying. Yes.
You know, it kind of becomes what you make it, really. So, I competed, I won my third year competing. So my first year I made top 10, and then my second year I placed third runner up. And then last year I won my title. So that was very exciting to see kind of the progression and the hard work pay off, and, improved every year. You know, you kind of, people think, you know, pageants is all just glitz and glam, but it's really, you know, it's about your public speaking. It's about your presence and your confidence and what you're doing in the community and your platform and what you want to stand for and work for. And so it's been great to kind of see that progress. And I think I was really able to talk about that this past year. And honestly, by the third year, one of the biggest things I talked about in interview was, I said, you know, one thing about me is I'm authentic. Like, you're going to get what you're going to get. And I don't shy away from who I am. And I think that really just showed through that. I even got some comments on my Instagram where people that had followed my journey, one of my friends from high school was like, one thing I've loved about you is you have stayed true to yourself. And I was like, that's what I said, you know, and I was so glad that emulated even through my social media, that I stayed true to me. And even through the heart of supporting law enforcement, everything else, I'm like, nope, I get the information firsthand from a husband. So it's been really awesome to see how it's all played out. And going to Mrs. America this summer and competing in Vegas was a once in a lifetime experience. And just getting to share and bring that platform to a national stage was the dream, you know, to just really have it out there, and just all the support that I got, and some of the fellow queens that had followed me on social media knew that's what my platform was. So my sister queen in Oregon gave me a like back the blue magnet thing from her state that she got, and just, you know, so like all those just sweet little gifts and things that it's just been really cool to see.
Yeah, I love how you mentioned how important it was for you to stay authentic to yourself the whole way through. How did that feel when someone actually mentioned that to you, where they're just, hey, this is still the Brittany that I knew 5 or 10 years ago?
It's really validating, you know, because of course it's a bummer when you don't win like previous years, you know, sure. Like you don't win and you're like, oh, what's wrong? But you know, I've really learned, you know, when it's your time, it's your time. And we all can always grow and improve in who we are and really perfecting. I think because the other 2 years I was trying to be more what I think pageant world wanted versus what I wanted and just kind of trying to navigate that by, but then the third year, it was just kind of like, nope, this is my authentic self. Like I've been here, done that. This is what I'm doing. And I really just talked about all the things I had done in the community and through, and I think they really appreciated as well that I, you know, I stayed with my platform, didn't change all those 3 years. I was like, nope, still supporting law enforcement from day one. My first year competing was 2020. And I'm up on that stage talking about law enforcement in the middle of 2020. And I still made top 10. So, you know, it's been cool to see. And I've gained some really awesome sponsors this year when I won. So, the national organization, Thin Blue Line USA, I got a whole box of care package. They were like, if you want to give this out to your queens when you go to nationals, they gave me like Washington State pins with a Thin Blue Line on them. So I've been collecting stuff to try to give out to people. Boaz Coffee, he has a line called Blue Hero Blend. Okay. And him and I work together and I hand out his packages of coffee, the Blue Hero Blend, to different police departments across the state when I go. So it's just been really cool to see all the community.
Yeah, that is. I find it intriguing because I believe this, but to hear you actually say that what made the difference was you stopping trying to fit into what your perception of what was needed for the pageant to win and just being like, no, this is me. And like actually kind of in a way giving up on playing the game.
Yeah.
Actually is what helped you win the game.
Right. It's, and I feel like that's the whole thing, you know, people try to just like, you just have to tell your story and be who you are. I mean, at the end of the day, the judges want to know you and they want to know your story. And, Mrs. South Carolina is who won at nationals this year. And her story is incredible. I mean, she battled breast cancer in her early years and just how she's overcome and became a, you know, beauty pageant holder and just, you know, everybody's journeys, it's, they just want to see the real you and that's so all you can see.
How do you balance improving and getting better and taking lessons along the way without changing yourself? Because you do want, there is an element of changing yourself to improvement, but not giving up your core authenticity.
I think it's finding the balance between like, you know, in pageant world, they want to see, okay, what are you doing in the community? What type of events? Is it nonprofits? Is it community service? Is it whatever? So it's striking the balance between, okay, one of the feedback critiques I got the year before was all I did was law enforcement. I wasn't doing much anything else for community service. So I was like, okay, that's constructive criticism. You know, I can hear that. So this year I tried to do a lot of like, Salvation Army, blood drives, like doing other, being involved in other organizations, even like with my church and just being fully giving back to the community, not just my one niche. So, you know, just kind of growing in that sense of like, okay, where could I improve upon what they are? What
like
they
are. Some activities I can focus on that doesn't pull away from the essence of who I am. I'm not changing my message on stage or you know, saying anything differently, but I can show up to this thing or do that.
Yeah. Just kind of being more rounded opposed to only focusing on your one, you know.
And I think part of that comes down to being very clear about what's at the core of meaning for you, like what's the most important thing for you. And a lot of people struggle sometimes finding that, you know, like deciding what's that one thing. Do you have any advice for how to find that for people? That's really putting you on the spot, but
I would say what two things. What brings your heart the most fire and passion, mm-hmm. but what also breaks your heart the most?
Oh, wow.
Because I feel like for me, that's where my passions collided, is my heart broke for seeing, even before, because my husband was a cop before 2020 happened.
Right.
And even then, it's up and down with law enforcement, right? So I was just like, my heart breaks for these men and women because I see what he does every day. I've gone on ride-alongs. I've talked to people in his department. I've talked to other chiefs. And I'm so passionate about these, just finding the truth, you know, of my specific,
right,
you know, cause. But for other people, I mean, if your passion is foster children, if your passion is, it breaks your heart, there's foster children. So you want to, maybe you can't be a foster parent, but you want to help volunteer at a group home or help volunteer in your church with, you know, bringing the foster people to your church to speak. I mean, there's different ways to be involved that you don't have to be like 100% in. But I would say, yeah, the striking the match between what burns passion and what breaks your heart.
Wow. That's beautiful. I love that. I'm going to use that because it just, as you said that, it just instantly made so much sense. And I was thinking of different moments or issues throughout my life where it's like, oh yeah, this, I can see both, where your heart is so warm when you see the thing taken care of, or the good stories from the same situation that you're so distraught over when it's not going right. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like I've seen that a lot with like doctors and nurses, you know, they'll be like, oh, when my mom was dying in the hospital, her nurse, whatever. And that's sprung that passion of like, yeah, I want to help people because they were so sad, but over what their parent was going through, you know, it's just
right.
Like that's what breeds a lot of careers, you mm-hmm. know, is where is that bridge, you know?
Yeah. And as much as we want to talk about, you know, being professional and doing things for all these reasons, we're all human. And all of our driving forces are primarily through emotion. And that's what's going to drive it. Then we can figure out how to, you know, go the right course logically or yeah, however, but that is where the fuel comes from.
Yeah.
Well, what is the best way people can support you and support the Mrs. Washington and law enforcement? What do we do? How do we help?
Yeah. I mean, you can find me on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, my Instagram, Mrs. Washington American 2022. And from there, I encourage people to, I've been talking a lot about, because tomorrow on Monday, January 9th, I don't know when you're airing this, but on Monday, it is a Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. So I've been posting a lot about that and different ways, even just free ways you can support law enforcement. You know, having your kids color a picture, bring them a card. It doesn't have to be something extravagant all the time. And it's, you know, when your community, wherever you specifically are, has events, whether that's National Night Out or Coffee with a Cop, or, you know, sometimes like Pierce County will do Reading with a Sheriff or different, you know, there's all these different things. They'll do blood. Lakewood had a blood drive and a food donation drive a couple months ago. It's just go to those things, you know, put it out there and just even showing up shows them that you support them, you know? So it's important to just even people like we talked about, right? It doesn't matter if you feel awkward. Doesn't matter if you're feeling shy, because that's one of the things I get on my Instagram when I talked about tomorrow is one of my friends was like, I'm always so nervous to walk into a police department. Like, what if they, you know, and I'm like, it's not, they're not going to be like, it's okay. You know, you trust me, it's okay. Like I've done it so many times that, and what actually is really sweet when people do go in, of course, they're happy to talk to you, right? But Tacoma PD specifically has a whole board that's outside of their front door in the lobby that has all the cards and pictures that kids color them. They post them all up on their wall, you know? So it's, you can actually go in and see like, okay, they appreciate it. You know, they put it up. It's really does important to them. My husband works for King County. So when I've gone on ride-alongs with his department and inside their various precincts, they have them up and I'm always like, oh, this is so sweet. All the kids' little pictures and all that. So it doesn't have to be something extravagant. You know, it's bringing them donuts. It's just saying thank you when you see one at the grocery store. Like it's, you know,
right.
But yeah, just, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm happy if people follow along on my journey and just support my fellow sister queens and seeing what all they're doing. And yeah, it's been great to be out there. And tomorrow's, so the 9th is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. This Friday, Tacoma PD's chief is doing coffee with the chief. So he will be at a Starbucks in Tacoma. And, you know, they do those things to just get the community involved and ask them their questions. You know, you guys get your keyboard warriors going, but you don't want to go and actually talk to someone about it and hear the truth. So
yeah. And I would also suggest whatever, because a lot of times I always feel like I hear about these things after the fact. And so whatever area you live in, you know, follow your local police department and law enforcement, follow their social media, because they'll post these things, and follow your city government so you can find out what's going on. Because I like how you said, just showing up is showing support. And because a lot of times we were like, I don't want to walk up and say anything, or I don't know, like I don't have a connection there, so I don't know if it's my place. But just being there shows that you're appreciative.
Yeah. And I always share, I personally live in Pierce County, but I share everywhere across Washington. You know, like I'll share Kent's activities or the Tri-Cities, or just because whoever might follow me in their area, you know, I try to just get it all out there of what's going on. So
that's excellent. Well, before we go, Brittany, what would be just one little last tidbit nugget? You've given us so many, I hate to ask for more, but if you were going to tell people how they can best own their awkward, what would be that advice you'd give them?
Just authenticity. You can't beat it. You got to just put aside that everybody has an awkward, everybody has their own issues, and you can't let someone else's judgment of you deter you from accomplishing what you want to accomplish. So just own who you are and embrace it. And, you know, you can blossom into something beautiful from that.
Yeah. I love that. That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being here and opening up and everything else that you're doing out there. It's a great cause. I really believe in it. And it's made me think about, okay, I got to make sure I'm showing up at more stuff. Sometimes we think we're supportive and then we realize, oh, I missed this or I missed that. And I got to get out there. So
no, it's okay. But thank you.
Thank you. And everybody else, be sure to go to all of Brittany's social media. Again, it's Mrs. Washington America 2022 on Instagram, and you can find her. Be supportive of her and all your law enforcement. And as always, own your awkward.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.